You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
They're back together again. Eric and Jeff are reunited as friends. Old Movie BS is back together again.
Hello, welcome to Movie BS with Bayer and Snyder, your internet movie podcast thing. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder. Over there is my co-host, Jeff Bayer.
Hey, everybody, it's Jeff Bayer. How are you doing tonight? I am your host for Movie BS with Bayer and Snyder. That's my co-host, Eric Delicious Snyder.
All right, let's see what we have.
Oh, man.
What if you were the overnight radio guy and that was your partner?
So and it was the radio station owner's son.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It had to have the job. You were locked.
Put him on the overnight. So there's not
and your wife just had a baby and you just bought a house. So you can't just leave the job. You're
right.
Stuck. Okay.
Right.
This is exactly. The scenario.
Hey, let's. We don't have an iTunes review to read this week, but just FYI, listeners, if you write us an iTunes review, we'll read it on the show in old timey voice.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have one this week, so I can't demonstrate. But trust me,
it's a thing.
Great.
It's a thing.
Yeah, we've done it in past shows. Really, every show, just about every episode, we've always done it.
We're not making this up.
Nope. So instead, we'll get right to the festivities. We didn't even decide which one do you want to talk about first.
X-Men : Apocalypse.
All right, that makes sense. We saw that one longest ago.
Oh man, did we drop the ball on this one?
Well,
we have a promise to you people. From now on, when we see a movie and then it doesn't come out for a few weeks, we are going to record our thoughts sooner than later.
Right.
That's it.
Because for some reason, with this one, Fox, they screened it for critics way early, unusually early, and also went out of the way to say, no embargo, please talk about it immediately. The theory is that they were trying to compete with Captain America, like get people thinking about X-Men at the same time Captain America was coming out, like to sort of steal some of their thunder.
That is correct.
But it didn't work, because it turns out most critics didn't like X-Men Apocalypse.
Well, it kind of was twofold, because then there was another theory that developed, which was, maybe they wanted us to talk about it now so they wouldn't be talking about it right before it opens.
By the time it comes out, people have forgotten that they heard it wasn't any good.
That's right.
All right, that's an interesting theory. All right.
It's a theory.
Yeah, no,
it floated. It floated.
I might do that. Yeah, so the point being, we saw it a couple weeks ago, didn't like it very much, and don't remember. We didn't like it very much. I won't speak for you. The impression I had was that you didn't like it very much.
Here's the thing about this movie. I think this is run-of-the-mill, average superhero movie, and therefore is a slightly above-average film. That's how I feel about it. It is. There was a few swings and misses. There was a few really joyous, cool moments. And when it was over, I was just like, all right, it's over.
Yeah, I feel like it is an average superhero movie and an average movie. I guess I should say an average movie. Still average superhero movie. I feel like there have been enough bad superhero movies that the average is still going to be kind of not that good.
See, okay, if I was to simply take all of the X-Men movies, it is better than The Last Stand.
Probably, I think. I don't remember what I thought of any of them.
And it's not quite as good as most of the others. That's kind of how – that's just it. All right. It falls into that pile of things because you still have talented actors trying. Like, Michael Fassbender is definitely trying in this role. Mm-hmm. Some of the young kids.
He does really, and really the fast bending he does in this film, the best of his career. He's really one of the best Fassbenders we have right now.
Some of the kids do a good job in bringing up characters that are kind of getting the reboot this time around. And the action feels purposeful. It doesn't feel like wasted action in the beginning. It feels like, oh, this action's happening for a reason, which sometimes in these superhero movies, it's just about the show. As opposed to making sure the movie actually moves from point A to point Z.
Yeah, and I'd agree that it's structured pretty well as far as that goes. Yeah, it's efficient. There's not wasted stuff. I just didn't think that most of it was very interesting.
With the movie, yes.
And I have liked... I basically liked all of the X-Men before. Not the Wolverines. Those are separate, right?
Yeah, those are pretty much separate.
Most of the X-Men I liked okay. Everyone hated.
That was The Last Stand.
The Last Stand, okay.
Yeah.
That was the Brett Ratner one.
Yes. I really liked First Class.
I loved First Class, yeah. Right. And even Days of Future Past I thought was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good. And this is to me, again, this
is less good than that, I think.
It's just a step below Days of Future Past. That's it. That's all it is. It has the moments that the standard fan is going to appreciate. There's an excessive cameo. I don't think this is spoilery because I've seen it in magazines and whatnot.
It's in the trailer, too, yeah. I think, if it's the one you mean.
Yeah. Wolverine is in a scene in this film. And he's repeating actions that we saw in X2.
And not saying anything. No lines.
Right.
I wonder if they would have had to pay him more. No, probably not for a star like him.
But anyway, I mean, the biggest miss that everybody's probably talking about here is, well, what'd you get Oscar Isaac for? Doll him up with all of this weird makeup.
Unrecognizable.
And if you're going to manipulate his voice a little bit, like, well, what's Oscar Isaac doing there?
Exactly. Why even bother?
Yeah, but...
He plays Apocalypse. Apocalypse was the first mutant. You had Adam and Eve and then Apocalypse. He was the first mutant back in Egypt days, and then he collected all the powers. Oh, the beginning of the movie in that Egypt time.
Did you like that?
Well, it was intense. I took notes on the various ways that people were killed in that scene. Crushed, twisted, skeletonized, burned. Pretty hardcore. Anyway, and then it's 1983. It's 10 years after the previous film, which was called Days of Future Past.
Right. With it being 83, I was just like, oh, you should have said it in 83, but you didn't need the fashion. You didn't need a mullet. You didn't need these things. I didn't need for X-Men to be authentic.
It's 10 years later, but somehow, what's his name? Quicksilver is still a teenager.
No, he's grown up.
Well...
He just looks pretty much the same because, you know. Right. But he's made reference to still living at home.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he can't be very old. Anyway.
Yeah. But, yes, it follows – we have Nightcrawler, we have Cyclops, and then
Cyclops is that Ty Sheridan kid.
Yes.
From Mud and from something else that was good.
And I think he does pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then Jean Grey is Sophie Turner from –
Oh, it must be Game of Thrones, right?
There you go. Yep, that is correct.
that rule holds true surprisingly often.
It really does.
If I don't recognize an actress's name, then she's probably from Game of Thrones.
There's some playful stuff with Professor Xavier trying to get back with...
Moira?
Moira, that's right. Moira Rose Byrne, the lovely.
It's the year of Rose Byrne.
It is. That's fine.
There's no shortage of mutants. Oh, it's wall-to-wall mutants.
And with Magneto, they try to give him some heavy, heavy stuff right away.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it puts him kind of in this lingering state of just depression. And that's not a lot of fun. He is kind of useless to the movie. Like, I understand the idea of Apocalypse is trying to gather four horsemen-like minions on his side, and that Magneto can play the role of one of them, but at the same point, it really could have been anybody. Quicksilver does something very similar that he's done before, and once again, it's degrading. It's fantastic. It steals the show 100%. Mm-hmm. Very much like, because we saw this right around the time we saw Captain America, it was easy to pull out the idea of like, oh, this is the Spider-Man. This is the right. This is the joy that I'm getting in this moment. Okay, and then who's doing this and who's doing that? It just didn't have the exact same effect as that movie. But to me, again, just a little bit less than. The climax is what...
so much of the climax takes place in Professor X's head. Which
yep.
makes it very hard
I was
to
just gonna
care
say,
or follow or...
Dream sequence, action sequence combined is not the best thing to do. Period.
Yeah. And the whole movie... Oh, I wrote down some more. Decapitated, turned to dust, sliced, slashed. the whole thing still feels like they're setting up. It feels like they're still setting up for more
yes.
movies. And this is like the third one now.
Yeah.
Or something. Or the reboot, or the second one. I don't remember what happened. Anyway, it feels like they've been setting up for a while for something new, with the new, younger cast and all that.
Right. And here's the thing I will say. It does seem that they will finally get over that hurdle in the next movie. But, of course, I could be clearly wrong, only because they're setting it up with something that's been very familiar to comic book geeks and people
right,
that used to watch
right.
the cartoon and things like that. And so that could be interesting. And it could take it in a different place, which, you know, maybe less city destruction is what this movie can
well,
utilize in
the
future.
Let's not get crazy here.
I'm just hoping.
I give it a C+.
See, this is the thing. What are you? I'm a 6 out of 10.
Okay, yeah. That's not very good. That's what I said in the first place. 6 out of 10 is not very good. It is not a very good movie.
6 out of 10 is it's
not
bad.
Very good.
It's not bad.
It's not very good.
It's not bad. It's pretty good.
No, it's not pretty good.
It is pretty good better than good.
Yes, pretty good is better than good.
Pretty, but if you say like, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. But if it's pretty good, that means it is at least good.
It is at least good. Hang on. I was always under the impression that pretty good meant 6 out of 10, good meant 7, and really good meant 8. Do you need me to change what I say for my 6?
Well, do you think that a 6 out of 10 is equivalent to a C+?
Yes, almost.
A C+ is not very good. But not bad. It's not bad.
My 6 is a B- C+.
Well,
that's what my 6 is.
You can't be both.
No, that's why I'm a 6. You can't be both, or you can't be one. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
The point is, it's not very good.
It's fine.
It's a little below fine.
Hey, do you guys need to see another superhero movie? Here you go.
Here's need something to tide you over? Been a week. All right. And this. Oh, let's talk about this other piece of garbage. Alice Through the Looking Glass. I did not like this movie.
Oh, man.
At all. I couldn't wait for it to be over, and I was afraid that it was not ever going to be.
This could be the we could give this the Sparks treatment, this movie. We don't need to. Saying. Guess what, people? Time travel. And not only time travel...
Time travel inside of Wonderland. So first we go into Wonderland,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
time travel inside of Wonderland.
Right.
And then
it's multiple time travels. Almost like a what is the – oh, my gosh. How am I blanking on this? The Scrooge tale? Christmas Carol?
Yeah.
It's almost like that to where it's like, oh, there's something else that I need to learn
like
about
you need
him.
To go back further. And,
right.
Like this. And who – obviously, I said this to you afterward. Obviously, if I had thought about it, of course the sequel to Alice in Wonderland would be all about the backstory of the Mad Hatter.
The
like,
backstory of the Mad Hatter.
Where he came from and what made him mad. And
but at the same point, it's not like he's got the most screen time by any stretch.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It's so weird.
Who cares? Who possibly cares about the Mad Hatter and his backstory? This was the idea of people... who are living like 6 years ago? Who think that everyone still loves Johnny Depp and they just want to see him?
Right.
They haven't gotten the word yet that we're tired of him. And,
yeah.
But so this is his character. And yeah, like I say, he's not even the main character. The main character is Time, played by Sacha Baron Cohen.
No.
He lives in a giant clock, and he controls time. And I think he's German. And
not sure. I'm not sure.
Alice steals his time travel ball. The Chronosphere steals that to go back in time to – what's she doing?
She's trying to make Mad Hatter feel a little bit better because he's really super depressed.
Because his family is dead.
Because he thinks his family is still alive and nobody believes him.
Right. His family was presumed dead. He has just found reason to think they may be alive.
Presumed dead because he told everybody that his family was dead.
They're killed by the Jabberwocky they were.
Right, but that's why everybody thinks his family is dead.
Well, including him. He thinks that too.
Because Hatter has constantly believed this, and now he's got a shred of hope somehow because of something that he saw. Mm-hmm. And so he hopes.
Maybe they're not dead after all. Yeah.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that concept, but the application of this is annoying. And Alice
not to prove they're still alive, because she assumes they're not, but instead to go back in time and stop them from being killed.
Right, right. Even though she's told that that can't happen. And
also,
there are dire consequences to messing with time.
She's warned.
She's told all of this and then causes a lot of trouble.
Well, she, in her defense, they do point out that she is uniquely qualified to go back in time because since she is not from Wonderland, there's no chance that she will run into a past version of herself. Because if you do that, you know, the time cop thing.
Even though technically she could have.
She could if she happened to go to the time that she would. Right. She happened to go to that one day.
And she was in a machine that she didn't fully know how to control. And it seemed like it was just like random waves that were popping up.
Seemed like it. And also, she doesn't even talk about, like, oh, and I'll also go and kill Hitler. Like, she just totally ignores it.
She could only travel in time in Wonderland.
This is in 1870s. That's right. Hitler hadn't happened yet. Oh, and she's Hitler excused for not remembering to kill Hitler.
Genghis Khan,
exactly. But again, he wasn't still in
Wonderland. No, but he wasn't in Wonderland. So she couldn't travel in time outside of Wonderland.
Well, she didn't even try, did she?
No, she didn't
ask. They didn't into whether you could use the time ball. Oh, that'll be Alice in Wonderland 3. It'll be the time ball in the real world. Oh, that's what will happen. Wonderland will come to our world. That's what it'll be.
I loved how in the beginning of the film, they're like, and remember, you know, you didn't marry Hamish. And the whole time I'm like, okay, so there was a character named Hamish in the first one that I don't remember.
I kind of remember that.
And apparently she was
somebody,
like involved with him in some way. I don't know. And that's the thing, too.
I vaguely remember that.
This was a distant memory. The characters are not that interesting. Matt Lucas as Tweedledee and Tweedledum is not fun to look at.
No, the Tweedles, they're unpleasant, and we don't need them. All those side characters, like the March Hare, and there's a little the Dormouse, mm-hmm. the dog. I don't remember there being a dog in Alice in Wonderland. I guess
whatever.
All
sure.
those guys are hanging around. Don't care. They got nothing to do.
Like that little mouse is telling Alice how sweet she is at the end of the movie, and I'm like, little mouse, I don't care about you.
I don't even know your name, little mouse.
I don't.
Here's the thing Alice says. She said, Hatter is my truest friend. And I thought, what? when did that happen? She hung out with Hatter for a couple of days.
And not only that, at the end, do you remember how it was almost like, were they trying to accidentally tease or like hint at a romantic possibility with them for just a second in that first one? I remember feeling that vibe.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
So this is just, it's stagnant and inert, sort of lifeless, hollow, pointless, meandering.
Visually stunning.
Oh, visually stunning. Sure.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
But it does not matter. Oh, my gosh. Mm. So Anne Hathaway's character, the good witch or whatever the heck she's supposed to be.
She's the white queen.
Right.
The queen or something.
This is, I think, how people – who dislike Anne Hathaway always see Anne Hathaway. Like that, it was just like, and it was just like, oh, okay, I can see your point. Mm-hmm. When I'm watching her do this with her like fingers that flutter because that's what a princess would do, or I don't know what it all means or adds up to be.
It's another thing. They also try to use the time ball to stop the Red Queen, the Queen of Hearts, from becoming.
Right.
Evil, which happened because she bonked her head. Did we know that? That sounds familiar, actually. Like that was in the first movie.
Oh, was it?
Maybe. I feel like there was some explanation in the first movie of why she was – and why she and her sister are, you know, that they weren't always – maybe I'm making that up.
I'm not going back to watch that first one.
I might. I'll read the Wikipedia page to see.
By the way, time in general, bad idea to get in a relationship with anybody. Your time. It doesn't even seem like it should be allowed.
Will I not? He'll never die.
Yeah, but then he was easily manipulated. And
oh, that's true. Oh, you're talking about like getting special favors and stuff?
Yes.
He shouldn't be allowed to have regular friends. You're right.
Yeah, one of the last things that Alice says is, "Oh, Hatter, I fear I'll never see you again." And I have that opposite fear. I fear I might have to see him again. Because this voice that he puts on, I'm not doing any research. I'm just saying it's in my top three annoying Johnny Depp voices.
Pretty annoying Johnny Depp voice. I give the movie a D.
It's a 3.
All right. There you go.
Really good looking movie.
Alice through the looking glass and up your bum. And then there's another movie that I saw on assignment for crookedscoreboard.com because they got me reviewing sports movies. Because as you know, there's no bigger sports fan than Eric D. Snyder.
Do you preface every review at the beginning?
I'm really more of a movie guy than a sports guy. But that's what they want. Yeah, you know, they're not there to comment on right. You know, the sports. Good thing the soccer's boring. And this is a soccer movie. Pelé. You've heard of Pelé. Even I've heard of Pelé.
Yes, everybody's heard of Pelé.
He's the world's only famous soccer player.
Well.
For a long time he was.
Yes.
Before David Beckham. Now he's one of two. Anyway, this is a biopic about Pelé, and which is fine, because I actually am surprised there hasn't been one already, because he's amazing. Executive produced by Pelé.
Oh.
It's 20 minutes in the movie before the first time that there's a crowd chanting Pelé's name. It ends, you know how they always end with, you know, shot of the real person and then words yes. on the screen to tell you their achievements? It seems to go on forever. Like he lists every, and I mean, it's genuinely impressive, all the records he holds and everything. But I just, I just can't imagine, like, didn't he feel embarrassed to be watching this? And he's got a cameo in it. Big grinning, obvious cameo where it's like, eh, that's the real guy. See him? But so there's little kid Pelé in Brazil, and he's dirt poor, and he plays soccer really well. And there's a game at the rich kids against the poor kids. About half the movie is shots of crowds looking in awe, looking at things. And there's a scout in the audience. Anyway, it's a very, very generic biopic. Very sincere. Clearly, and it's very family friendly. It's very clean and wholesome and nice. So I guess if you love soccer and or Pelé, then you would watch it. Otherwise, there would be no reason to.
Are you glad you saw it?
Well, yeah, because I got paid to write a review.
Okay.
Otherwise, not. Well, actually, I one thing I did not know, I didn't know about his different style of soccer playing called Jinja. Which is, it's like the street style of soccer playing. And when he became a professional, there was pushback because they preferred the European style of play. And the Jinja, it's what the poor kids and the kids of African descent did. And they talk about where that style came from. And it had to do with capoeira and with the African slaves. And that was interesting. Didn't know about that.
Did they ever show, did they show his, he had like an amazing, was it a bicycle kick, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like over his head.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Backward.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it.
Nice.
No surprise, they couldn't really find a kid who could play soccer as well as Pelé.
Makes sense.
So there's lots of cutting around that, but they, you know, it's decent. Anyway, I think I gave it a C. Pelé. And now let's do question of the week.
The question of the week.
We asked, what fictitious product from a movie would you like to own?
We got some
good, interesting answers. Some things I had not thought of.
Right. We have five that we are going to talk here because, as you guys know, we take the best of the best on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page, which you can find if you go to moviebs.com. That's where we put the question of the week. Otherwise, you can email us at
moviebspdx@gmail.com. Nobody emailed this week any answers.
Nobody?
No. Anyway, yeah, so here are some answers you guys gave. Sorry, I could close the email. There it is.
Daniel.
Daniel. This is an old friend of mine, Daniel.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. He goes with a smart one here, BB-8. And I don't mean those remote control ones. I want one that can give me a lighter thumbs up so I can feel encouraged whilst I roast marshmallows. Mm-hmm.
So he wants not the toy that is for sale of BB-8, but the actual droid.
Yes.
All right, that's
fair. Which clearly it is a negotiable price that could be paid for BB-8.
You'd yeah, he clearly right is for person. Sale. No,
yeah. I mean, it's just yeah, it's just not a money thing, obviously. But
sure.
It's possible he could be bought and sold.
Well, anything could be bought and sold.
And then number two comes in with a discussion.
Yeah,
this
now
is
here,
discussion. I like this.
This is controversial. This gets a lot more controversial and a lot of more nerdy than we usually get here.
Oh, just wait.
Yeah, Daniel says a lightsaber. To which Jonathan responds, "Are those commercially available? Jedi tend to make their own. Maybe there is a DIY lightsaber kit in the Star Wars universe." And then Daniel replies, comes back and says, "Well, I hate to be that nerd." Sure you do, Daniel. But General Grievous got his four lightsabers somehow. So, yeah, apparently that's kind of just what I said, isn't it? Yeah, anything could be bought or sold.
General Grievous got his by killing Jedi.
Oh, is that how he got them?
Yeah.
All right. So he maybe didn't buy them. All right, Daniel. You might be out nerded. Yeah, I don't know that you can buy lightsabers in the Star Wars universe, but there are people who know more about that than.
That would be awesome if, it, like, in the next movie, somebody just walked into a lightsaber shop. It's like, oh boy, I don't know. And you could, there was a place where you could test them, and clearly it was like really messed up near it where people like got
right.
lightsaber wrong. There was a lot of holes in the floor where lightsabers were dropped.
That would make sense because it's been.
That would be an SNL sketch, actually.
There you go. Well, it would make sense because it's been 30 years since all the stuff happened, and people kind of think it was a myth, but that could have been like the one thing that caught on was lightsabers.
Yeah.
It became commercially available. Then you got into lightsaber control and regulations and all that.
Julian says, "Dapper Dan pomade from Oh Brother, We're Out Thou, because look how well it works on Clooney." Or maybe I just want to look like George Clooney. Sure. Guess what? You can buy Dapper Dan pomade. It exists. It's a product.
Did it exist before the movie?
Nope.
Did they really make one?
You can buy it
in the movie.
Yep. Huh. Well, no. I mean, like, I don't think like George Clooney's getting a percentage of this.
Well, did they make it? Did they make it based on the movie? Or did
yes?
They, okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's cool. Good for them.
Good for them.
Lost my place again.
All right.
I was looking up Dapper Dan. Oh, there it is. Oh, Joffrey? Am I saying that right? Joffrey.
Yes, that is correct.
Says the operating system from her. Yes. He says, "I wouldn't fall in love with it." Well, that's what Joaquin Phoenix thought. "But I would get to ask it all about the experience of being an AI while also getting my life fixed up and organized." Yeah, that would be a great product. I would. I'd be into that.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see the Christmas episode of Black Mirror with John Hamm?
No. I'm going to go with no.
It's really good, and it hints on another AI kind of thing at some point, and it was really cool.
Yeah, why didn't I watch that?
I don't know, but I just watched it last night, and it was good.
Maybe I will. Thanks for sharing.
And then... the answer of the week comes from our friend JC, Sex Panther. 60% of the time, it works every time.
Those are good odds, JC.
And there was at one point, Sex Panther was being sold as a tie-in for the movie, but it doesn't look like it is anymore.
60% of the time, it works every time, but the rest of the time, it smells like the time that a skunk got in the copy machine or... someone took a dump in a diaper full of Indian food or something. I forget all the things that it smells like. So that's question of the week. Thank you for your amusing and thoughtful answers. Oh, wait. Do you have an answer?
Do you have an answer?
No. Do you?
What?
I didn't think Eric. About it. I forgot to think about it.
Well, tell me one of your movies, right? I know what you would love. You would love a talking candlestick.
That's not a thing you can buy.
Why not?
It's not for sale in the movie. No. It's a guy who got turned into a candlestick.
If you had the
there's
choice.
There's an SNL sketch. all the stuff gets turned into enchanted objects in the house, and the prince, who's now a beast, just goes and has a yard sale and sells them all. Sells all his candlesticks and the clock and everything. The whole China set.
Oh, man. Can I say Wally? Can I have Wally?
Yeah, I think he was commercially available.
Okay. I'm going with Wally.
All right. Yeah. That's a good one.
Thanks.
Clean up all the trash.
And he wants to be appreciated.
True.
And I would occasionally be willing to appreciate him.
What would you need Wally for? You don't have, a lot of garbage around your house that needs being pushed out of the aisles.
That's true. It's just garbage. He wouldn't...
It'd be cool. He's cute, but you don't have much use for him.
All right, Mary Poppins.
She also...
I can't buy a Mary Poppins.
No!
I'm kidding. But it was good to see you worked up.
But you can rent her.
Uh-oh.
Ding. Okay. Oh, what about the thing, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, the memory erasing thing?
Ooh.
Is there like a home kit that you can buy of that?
It's not even necessarily a home kit. Like that is isn't that a service?
It's a service. They go in. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I guess we could extend this question of the week to include a service. All right. Just a product. All right.
Tell everybody what memory you want erased. What deep, dark memory do you never want to think of again, Eric? What happened?
I'll have to get that some thought. I think I won't tell you. Now that I think of it, I don't really have anything specific. Because it's not that I'd want to get rid of the memory. I would want to somehow make it not have happened, which that's a different product. I need that ball from Alice through the Looking Glass.
Yeah, it's not for sale.
No, it's not for sale. You had to steal it from Time. Yeah.
I'm going to go. Can I buy a
better one than Wally?
Yeah. Can I buy a restaurant?
Sure. I think so.
All right. There it is. I'm the owner operator of Jackrabbit Slim's from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, all right. All right.
Ooh. Nostalgic Hollywood, tasty shakes and burgers.
Pulp Fiction has a product that I would buy.
Oh, those cigarettes because you're smoking again?
Close. Syringe full of adrenaline.
The car before the brains. I don't want to buy a car and then find out there's brains in the seat.
Right. Oh, the gimp outfit. That rubber suit. I can't even imagine wearing that. I get claustrophobic just thinking about it.
Oh God.
Ugh.
I mean, the amount of sweat.
Just
that I would
rubber suit.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that'd be terrible.
Yeah. For sure, that's the worst thing about being a gimp is the heavy rubber suit.
No, it has to be.
Not anything that happens to you or they do to you or whatever. It's the suit. It's the costume. So that's question of the week. What is it for next week? This was your thing. You're doing.
Yes, it was.
Mount Rushmore.
We have another Mount Rushmore that we are going to do. And... Adrian suggested part of it, and we're going to expand it because we realized we didn't even have this broad topic. The Mount Rushmore for next week. Are we using your favorite?
Yes.
Right? The word favorite?
Your favorite.
Your favorite four sports films.
Favorite four sports films.
I thought
we had done that. I thought we had done it already.
No.
Somebody suggested baseball, and I said, well, we already did sports. And you said, no, we didn't.
Right. And then it was like, all right, let's do all sports.
Yeah. So here we are.
Here we are.
So, yeah, tell us your four favorite sports movies.
Silver Spoons. Do you remember that theme song?
Of course I do.
I didn't know if you watched Silver Spoons.
Yes. I watched all the sitcoms of that era, and I know all the theme songs.
I do, too.
All the game show things, too.
You know how sometimes you have people over and you sing at your house, that weird thing you guys do?
Yeah.
If you do TV theme songs, I will come over.
We could do that, because I got a couple of books of them.
I was joking.
I know. Oh. I'm so excited you're going to come over and meet my friends.
I would sing TV. I would.
Sure,
I would.
It's fun. What were we talking about? Oh, sports movies. It's your four. They don't have to be ranked. The order doesn't matter. Just your four favorites.
Right. And yeah, it's got to be four.
We'll add up all the votes, and we'll have
please,
the four.
Please do this. Please consider it a sports movie. Yeah. You know, if you're like, is that really a sports movie?
If you have to ask, then it's not. Yeah.
Then it's not.
Yeah.
Sports movie.
Good point. Is Anchorman a sports movie?
Oh, my gosh.
He mentions jogging. It might be yogging. So that's question of the week. Email us, moviebspdx@gmail.com, if you want to, or post it on Facebook. All right, let's quickly update the summer box office challenge. Not a lot of action yet in the early innings, because they've just been three of my movies so far. So I've got I have a commanding lead.
Yes.
I'm way out in front, $239 million to nothing. Well, with my Captain America Civil War, and then I had the Angry Birds movie and Neighbors 2 Sorority Rising. $38 million and $21.7 million.
Feels pretty good. Yeah. Feels pretty good.
No duds so far. But then this weekend, you have both of them. Both of these not very good movies.
Yeah. What am I hoping for? I am hoping my ideal would be I'd be pleased as punch if X-Men did 80 and Alice did 35.
And I have no idea.
I think that'd be a good escape. I have no idea.
I'm not. I've never been good at predicting the box office.
Not when it gets up to that range. I have really, like, I mean, because if you think about it, Captain America did 190, right?
179.
So by that rationale, is it like, well, won't half those people see X-Men?
No.
But that's the crazy part to me. I don't get
it. Maybe. I mean, maybe. Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know why anybody does anything. So that, so far, not much to report. But you'll have two this weekend. It'll be a contest after this weekend.
Well, we'll see. Or it could be over already.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe.
If X-Men does 50 as my number one or number two pick out of my choices, then yeah. I think I'm just done.
Well, not necessarily.
Yes. If your number one makes four times more than my second choice or the second pick overall.
Well, but the order that you pick them doesn't matter a whole lot.
Well,
like, I'm looking at the actual results.
Yeah.
They generally kind of line up, but not exactly, not necessarily.
All right. Well, thanks for the pep talk.
Just in 2014, your first pick was How to Train Your Dragon 2.
And it did.
Made $49 million.
49, yeah.
Your second pick was Transformers, and that was the big one, $100 million.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, not necessarily a predictor. So it's don't count your chickens wrong. Don't count yourself out yet. That's what I'm trying to say.
Thanks.
Give it a week, then you'll be dead. You want to play a game?
I do want to play a game.
Is it time for Character Casserole?
Ooh, I am a little hungry.
All right. Well, Character Casserole works this way. We're going to choose three movies, and we'll choose a character from each one and make up a movie with them. And to choose the movies, we go to the list of the highest grossing films of all time, adjusted for inflation.
And there are 200 on this list, Eric. The top 200.
And, oh, I'm going to have to choose a random number, right? That's what I do.
Yes, you go to the random number generator.
All right, I will choose a random number. You'll tell me what that movie is, and we'll
and then we'll
character.
Pick a character.
First random number is 31. This will be the 31st highest grossing movie of all time.
2008, mm-hmm. Original gross, $534
million. Ooh, 2008. Was that one of the Batmans? Whatever Batman was that year? Dark Knight?
Ding. Correct.
Nailed.
Adjusted for inflation? 638. Already. Look at that.
Good for them.
The Dark Knight. Do we just want to pick the easy one?
Who's the easy one?
Don't you think it's Joker? He's the most interesting in the film.
I was going to say Batman was the easy one. In the Batman movie.
Do you want Batman?
Not really. He's
you don't want,
Let's
you don't
go
want
with
him?
Joker.
All right,
Joker.
Could go with Two-Face.
Nah.
Okay.
Next number, 63.
Eric is currently one for one on guessing the correct movie. 2005, $380
million. 2005, $380 million. Was that Revenge of the Sith?
Ding.
Nice.
Adjusted for inflation, 509.
It's easier when these higher up the list because I can think of like kind of what the giant movies are.
Good job.
But yeah, I'm two for three now. All right,
so we have Joker, and should we go?
Let's go with Anakin.
You want Anakin?
Sure.
Now, do you want Anakin, or do you want the way he finishes the movie as like first-time Darth? Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry, everybody.
No, he's still Anakin, but he's turning to the dark
side. He's moody.
Yeah.
You know, they have the same hair.
He's Breaking Bad.
That's going to be a plot point. They have the same hair, Joker and Anakin.
Isn't Joker's colored, though?
Well, yes, but it's the same
style,
length.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's true. They both look a little too greasy. Just take a shower. That's all I'm saying, guys. Okay, third movie.
Third movie, 154.
154. This will be hard. Back in 2015, Eric correctly got 3 out of 3 for character casserole. It's the only time he's ever done it. Here we go again. I don't know. I think so.
If I did, it was with hints. I've never done it without hints.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I feel like you have. What was the number again? I got distracted.
154.
150. Oh. 2010. Mm-hmm. 334 million. 2010, 334 million.
That was what it made then?
Yes.
334. 2010. All right, so that's got to be it must be Marvel movie was that year, maybe, would be my guess.
I wish I could give you a hint.
Yeah, sorry. Well, give me a hint.
It's we discussed the sequel just today.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, Alice in Wonderland.
That's funny.
2 out of 3. 2 out of 3.
All right, so who'd have won from that? Might as well get the Mad Hatter. Let's get these three crazy idiots, put them in a movie together, see what happens.
All right, do you remember the amazing...
About Alice in Wonderland, the answer is no.
The amazing film where Nick Cage, John Lovitz, and Dana Carvey end up in a small town trying to rob a bank, but there's a snowstorm and they can't escape the town.
I know the movie you're talking about. Can't think what it's called.
Oh, that doesn't matter. I want to borrow that concept.
Okay. So these three – so it's we have the Joker and Anakin Skywalker.
And the Mad Hatter.
The Mad Hatter.
They get stranded somewhere.
Why are they hanging out together in the first place?
Okay. All right. Good point. So
– Insane Asylum?
Done.
Did they meet there?
Yes. Yes. And it somehow worked to where, okay, it's the real world. It's Joker's world.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And it somehow ended
Anakin,
up.
Anakin is here. Anakin heard that there was a young Jedi apprentice in the mental institution. So he came to kill him.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Right.
He found there was a distant Jedi. That's the rumors.
Turned out it was just some crazy guy who says somebody was a Jedi.
Somebody was so powerful. Oh, wait. It wasn't even the Joker. And then he just ended up next to the Joker, and he's like, hey, what are you up to today?
Right.
And he's like, well, I'm a criminal mastermind. Ooh, me too. And then out of Wonderland pops the Mad Hatter. He's next to them. He fell out of the
Fell out of Wonderland before, and they naturally thought he was a crazy – well, he is a crazy person.
He is a crazy person.
Also going on about how he's from another land or whatever.
Right.
So they put him in the nut hatch.
They're all in the same – the movie starts in the same circle – group.
The group therapy.
Group therapy. They're in group therapy, yes. And it's just like we're talking. It's a really long shot on a very sad personal story of this guy, and then it pans to the Joker, and he tells a story that's not so amusing anymore. Well, I mean, it's amusing. It's not so serious anymore.
Right.
And then it pans to Anakin, and then it pans to the Mad Hatter, and then there we go. That's the start. So wait, is there an idea just to break out of the insane asylum?
Let's see. Maybe the Joker wants to settle some debt with Batman or something, or has some. There's something that they want to do. So one of the three of them has some goal.
Well, if it's Joker's world. He convinces Anakin to come along for the ride because of the bat plane. Like, that's the closest thing Joker knows is a spaceship. So he's going to, like, trick him into thinking, like, there, look at that crazy thing. Of course that can fly to outer space, which is what you want.
Right.
Which I don't think it technically can. I don't think it's supposed
to be
the atmosphere. So the joke's on you, Anakin.
Well, they call him the Joker. Serves him right there.
And then Mad Hatter, at the end, he's the one that was like, no, we shouldn't try to kill Batman.
Right.
And then Anakin just slices him up like crazy with that lightsaber. Like, there's no hesitation.
Nice. All right.
As soon as Mad Hatter stops being helpful in the escape.
As soon as, yeah, whatever, which raises the question, what is he adding to this? What is he, how is he helping?
Comic relief, which comic is relief. The problem. That's the problem with the film right there.
That's true. That's true.
Because he's not funny. So there's a, well, but that gives us an understanding that the Joker and Anakin also find him annoying. So then we appreciate them a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because that helps. That helps sometimes.
Is that, what about this? What if at the end of the movie, Mad Hatter turns out as undercutter of FBI?
Does he
sting the whole time?
Does he pull off a mask and
pulls
he's like
off his mask and he's
is yeah. he somebody else? He's like Nick Offerman under there.
There you go, someone like that. Yeah, all was, just been an act.
Nick Offerman was performing the whole time. Right. That I can get behind that. That's good, but they still kill him. Like well, as soon no, as he reveals no, it, he's no. like. I was FBI the whole, and then it's like he's just gunned down or sliced up or whatever.
I guess if it is the Joker's movie, it kind of has to end with the Joker winning.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that. I don't want the Joker winning.
Well, you're not going to enjoy supposedly this animated R-rated Batman movie that's coming then.
What? Because animated? R-rated?
I think so. I think this is – I don't think I've misspoken. I glance at Twitter – and so
Batman the Killing Joke.
Oh, yes. See, there we go. That's the thing. I bet that's R-rated, right?
I asked the internet to make sure you weren't being that guy, the Bobby Moynihan character on Weekend Update. I heard about this.
Pretty sure.
Anyway, that's how you play character casserole, probably. It's the end of the show, right? That's all we got.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Oh yeah, we can't give you people anymore.
No.
We've
been giving all night. X-Men Apocalypse, not very good. Or pretty good.
That's pretty
depending
good.
Depending on how you ask. Not right. very good. We apparently agree exactly. We just are saying it in different ways, apparently.
Right. Yes.
It's not very good, though. Do you think people should go see it? Pay money to go watch it in a movie theater?
All people? No. All people?
Any people.
Any people? Sure. Yes. Yes.
And C plus is if you're at the theater and you've seen everything else and it starts in 10 minutes, sure, you can see it.
But here's the problem with that theory.
But you don't see it on purpose.
I don't think you should see a movie if that's your situation. I think you should walk away from the theater.
I'm saying don't seek it out. But if it happens to be on thing. In front of you and you watch it, sure, you could do worse.
Here's the thing that I do not understand.
Huh.
Showing up to the theater without a plan.
It used to be a thing that people did. Teenagers would do it. Didn't you ever do that? Just go to the theater and just whatever there is?
No. I never did it. I never did it. I mean, I would – if my friends wanted to and I thought they were like I wanted to be friends with them, then I would go along for that ride. But otherwise it was like, well, what do you want to see?
No, it wasn't the norm. It wasn't the usual
before
thing.
Before we left.
I definitely did it more than once.
Never.
And it's a thing that some people do. Anyway – Alice of the Looking Glass is bad. Definitely don't see that. If that
don't
is playing in front of you, do whatever you have to not see it.
Right.
Kill a guy if you need to.
But here's the thing. Never mind. It is worse than the first one.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
yes. Yes.
Question of the week. We're doing the Mount Rushmore of sports films. So tell us your four favorites.
Four favorite sports movies.
And... that'll be all then. So until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Baer.
Thank you for listening, and good day.
I said good day.